Welcome to another episode of The Edge, our podcast about all things leadership and teams. Today we're going to be talking about team coaching because it's a really big part of what you and I do, Ali, and what our business does, and we're really passionate about it. We've also got a new book coming out at the end of April, which is called The Team Coaching Edge, which is all about team coaching. So we thought it'd be really nice to have a chat about that and just explore. Let's start by talking about what it is. Tell us, Ali, what is team coaching? How do you define that?
Well, team coaching, it might be easier to talk about what it's not rather than what it is to start with. So, yeah, most people have worked with teams and had a facilitator in who's helped them come up with their goals and objectives. That's not team coaching. Many teams have had team away days where they've done some team building, and it could be hanging off ropes or zip wiring or bowling. It could actually even be some simulation games and things. That's not team coaching either. So team coaching is using coaching skills, which in general is very good listening skills and amazing, high, hot, tough questions that really challenge and give you some insights, using those two capabilities to help a team come together and think about what's really important for them and how are they going to get there in a different way, in a nutshell. What would you add to that, Jenny?
I think there's also something about those other things that you talked about, you know, team building stuff, having a facilitated meeting, whatever it might be. They tend to be a lot shorter term, don't they? They tend to be about a half a day together or a day, having some fun, building team in that sense. But that's probably where it starts and finishes. There's rarely a follow-up in terms of what do we learn from that? How are we going to do things differently with the insights that we've learned about ourselves as a result? There's rarely a follow-up, say in 3 months' time, to go deeper with that and to take that even further. And that's, I think, a really nice differentiator of team coaching, is that like individual coaching, is not a one-off thing. It's rarely a one-off thing if it's going to have any impact.
Yeah.
It's a longer-term process that is builds and is incremental, and you know, the little shifts that you make over time make up to a really big change in the team.
I think it's also something that's much more transformational in its design, and it's also a partnership between the coach and the whole team, where you're really creating a reflective process with the whole team. The leader is part of the team too, so that the team can think about what is it that would enable us to maximize and optimize our performance and how we perform, but also how we feel about what we perform. So it's not just about hard end results in terms of task, it's also how people feel, because you know, I think there's a real difference when high performance, where people feel really good about it and energized and motivated and dynamic, and they get the results. So it's how do you get the team to see that potential and work, you know, in a partnership with them so that they can achieve it. So it's very team led rather than being proposed or directed by a trainer or a facilitator.
Yeah, that ownership piece is really important. I think that makes it what makes it so powerful, actually. You know, if you're talking about transformation, changing behaviours, ultimately, if you tell somebody what to do, how likely are they to change their behaviours? You know, that's what a trainer does, is tell you you should do something different. You know, different. Good trainers kind of get you bought into that. But, you know, it's still a tell style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas a coach, team coach, asks questions that enable you to come up with the solution yourself as a team, and then you're much more likely to do it. So that ownership, I think, is just so critical in that process of the team owning this. They're leading it. The coach is just a facilitator of the process and just the person who, you know, asks a powerful question that enables that to happen over time. So I think, yeah, there's something really powerful about that, isn't there?
It is. I think it's a very empowering process.
Yeah, empowering in what way? What's empowering about it?
Well, I think it's pushing back the ownership of the team in terms of their results, but also the dynamics within the team, and setting it up so that the team realizes that actually they can influence, they can change it, and that they are the ones that are in control. And so there's no point in waiting for somebody else to come along and do things. It's actually possible for them to do it. So I think it's a very empowering process coaching. And at the same time, they learn about each other and find out that, you know, people are much more multidimensional and interesting and trustworthy and reliable and all of those lovely things. So I think it strengthens the bonds across the team at the same time as getting people to realize that they can do so much more. So I think it's aspirational and inspirational at the same time.
And like any good coaching process, it's future focused. So coaching is a future focused, action orientated methodology. Yeah. Team coaching is part of that too. So it's not about a moan fest about, you know, everything that's not working in this team and woe is us. You know, there might be a little bit of that, right? Sometimes it's cathartic to do that to enable you to move on. But the majority of the time is focused on the future and where you want to get to and how you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very action orientated. That's one of the reasons why I really love it, is because of its action. I have a very strong inclination towards action. And so helping teams to tap into that, I think, is a really powerful part of the process.
Yeah. And it's very much a future focused thing. And I think it's a very hopeful process too. So there's an underlying principle of things can be better and things can improve and you can do things differently. So I think there's some principles that underpin team coaching, which are all about you can do this, you choose, and it's in your power and capabilities, particularly if you're all in it together, then the synergy of you as a team, you can do anything really. So what do you want to do and where do you want to start? So I think it's very much team focused, team led, their priorities, they get to do it.
And a really important part of team coaching, as it is, again, I'll always make parallels back to individual coaching because I think a lot of people are familiar with individual coaching and what it is and why you do it, but less aware of what the possibilities are with team coaching. In individual coaching, as well as in team coaching, the role of the coach is often, I have to do it. I can't say it without holding my hand up, holding up the mirror. So a coach, the role that a coach can play is helping a team to notice with that mirror what's going on in the team that maybe they hadn't noticed before, or they've noticed, but they haven't had the opportunity to articulate it in the right way. And noticing it helps them to take the right action to do something differently going forward, or even that works for us. We want to keep that. We want to do more of that. Here's when we're going to dial it up and when we're going to dial it down.
Yeah.
So having those conversations actually unlocks that potential within the team that otherwise they may not have had the opportunity to even notice, let alone do something about. Let's talk about the team coaching process then. What does that actually look like? You know, let's bring that to life a little bit more. You know, describe what you would do, Ali. You know, typical process for you working with a team as a coach. What would you be doing with them?
Well, I suppose there's a few standard things that you would expect to experience. So to your point earlier, it's a longer term process. So typically there'd be some kind of meeting with the leader initially to talk about, you know, and understand why they're wanting to do team coaching now. And then there would be a contracting or briefing process with the whole team. Now, it can be quite short. It could be anything from 30 minutes up to 3 hours, depending on the budget and the time the team have got. But the purpose of that is actually to introduce yourself, get to know the team a little bit, but also to start to talk to them about what it is that they want to achieve. What's their aspirations? What do they think they can get out of team coaching? But also to explain to them what team coaching is and what it isn't, and that this is something that you're not going to come and do to them, that it's a partnership and you're going to work with them together on it. So you might bring in some facilitation because it is a group process. So facilitation skills are really critical for team coaches because you're talking about a group process. So we'll often link in, you know, various activities and things, and then move back into team coaching to explore and gain the insights from it. So that's where it might differ from a facilitator who will come in and facilitate a process and go, right, that's done. Well done. You've got whatever you came from it. A team coach will then come in and go, what was going on in the room there with you guys? How does that reflect how you normally work together? And is that what you really want to do? And how does that work with your expected behaviours of this team and getting your goal? Were you as aspirational as you could have been? You know, and just asking some challenging questions about how they operated together and the dynamics and how they can use that to achieve their goals going forward. So very much working in that level. So we set up that initial meeting to talk about some of those things, how they want to work. And then you would start the time frame of regular coaching sessions. They could be anything from 90 minutes, I would say is probably the shortest you can do a team coaching session. But traditionally, more often than not, first time round with a team, it's a whole day. We'll work through lots of stuff together, all directed by team. We'd usually use a diagnostic tool that we've got that looks at what's high performance for the team. And then they get to explore their results and think about what is it they want to focus on and move that as a way of gaining insight. It could be a 2-day workshop to start with or a half day, but we'd have a sort of chunk of time to get going. And then you can either do it on a rhythm of quarterly or monthly. So again, it depends when the team gets together, how much time they've got, how much time it's going to take them to do the stuff they've promised to do. So that's where it's like normal coaching, one-on-one individual coaching. You don't get to go home and do nothing. It's a transformational action process. The insights and the ideas and the understanding comes in the coaching session. The action comes afterwards. So, you know, they have to go and do something and then come back. And part of the discussion then can be, why didn't you do it? And maybe they were busy, but then it's like, okay, so it's obviously not a priority. Let's talk about what that means then. So we can reflect on it and maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. And that's okay, but it's the team who needs to think about, do they commit to things in the moment and then not follow through? Or if they have followed through, what do they want to work on next? And so we would typically run a diagnostic with the team about every 3 to 4 months so they can see the progress that they're making and help them identify what they'd like to work on next that would add value to them as a team. And typically we'd work for up to 12 months with the team. Usually at that end, we'd come to a close. We would leave the team with a plan of how they're going to sustain themselves going forward, but we usually would give them a break. So it's not to say we'd never work with a team again. We do come back in and coach a team again, but we would want to, you know, make sure it's on another topic, they've got quite a specific outcome they want to work on, and that they're really going to drive their results in that kind of way. So it's very flexible, actually. So each team is unique. Sometimes we might only work on a couple of sessions and then they go, yeah, we've done it, thank you, and that's enough for that moment. What about your thoughts on the process that we go through with teams?
Yeah, I think that's it's an ideal process for a lot of teams, is that kind of 12-month process, you know, having an intention of working together for that period of time and having some key milestones that we agree. That quarterly thing tends to work really well in teams because they tend to think in quarters, a lot of business teams. So, you know, whatever kind of fits in with their own cadence and rhythms within the business and within the team, I think works the best for teams. Yeah. Sometimes, however, you know, to start with, they're a little bit scared of making that big commitment of 12 months. And so it can be, well, let's just try it out. Let's just have a workshop, see how far you go, see if you like it, see how you respond to this coaching thing, and then see where we go from there. And that sometimes is how I approach things with teams, is just, you know, let's just try something. I promise you'll get great value from just that day. And if you want to stop there, that's also fine. But we see the greatest success, I believe, in the teams that take on a longer term commitment, even if we're not involved in that longer term bit. You know, maybe we come in and just do the first couple of workshops and then they do something by themselves or with somebody else after that. It's the long term thinking that they're doing that makes the difference there. Yeah. So if they're thinking about this as a long term thing, and actually it's not just 12 months, if you know, for the team, it's always forever and ever, amen. You know, this is a muscle and a routine that they need to get used to doing, which is reflecting on the dynamics within the team, you know, creating some insights, creating some actions and doing something different, and then repeat. So you know, when teams get into that rhythm, that's ultimately what, you know, the ultimate aim of a team coach is to create that habit and that behavior of reflection in a really safe environment where they learn how to do that really, really well with a coach supporting them in that process. Then ultimately the coach needs to exit from the process and they can still carry on doing this. They're not done at that point, right? There's always more to be had with teams. And so us as coaches, we've always got in our minds, how can we create that sustainability without us going forward?
Yeah. And I think we can relate it to sports. I mean, there's the elite athletes who've got their coaches all the time and a whole team of people helping them perform at their best. And you can do that in business. If you're fine-tuning your high performance to an ever-increasing tiny level, then yes, that's what you're going to need. You're going to need a pair of eyes and challenge to stretch yourself to that next tiny incremental improvement of that competitive edge, that winning edge. But for most teams, most high-performing teams, and you can think about many excellent sportsmen who are not Olympians or whatever, but participate seriously and want to perform really well, it's quite good to get the odd coaching session or block of six. You know, I can think of plenty of golfers who go and have a block of six sessions to improve their swing, for example. Or we were talking earlier about some runners who might go and get their gait analysed and get some work done to help them just strengthen their gait and how they can speed it up. So those kind of fine tunings, transformational things about, I want to take a step change. That's where we are spending a lot of time with teams, with team coaching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's short term, as in up to 12 months working, and then you carry on because you've learned from it, you've moved up to the next level, and you might decide later on you like another little dose. But for the most part, it's taken you to the next level that you want to be, and you can consolidate and integrate it into your working practice as a team. And that's mostly where we're adding real value to the teams that we're working with, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I love about the process is it's so flexible, and there's no one right way to do it. You know, it very much depends upon the team that you have in front of you, how enthusiastic they are about the process. How much do they want to commit to this? Is this something they can see the potential within? And if so, you know, how fast do they want to move? You know, that determines how often we might work with a team over a 12-month period, for example. You know, so what else they've got going on? What's the context that they're operating in? What's happening around them? All of those things, I think, determine how we design that team coaching process so that it's going to work for this team and it really sets them up for success. But you mentioned flexibility earlier, and I think that's also really important. Teams change. The context changes. You know, if we worked with a team for 12 months, guarantee you that the team that we're working with at the 12-month mark is probably going to be very different from the team that we started working with 12 months ago. So much changes in businesses, you know, from month to month, from year to year. So I think it's important for coaches to recognize that, to design a process that is flexible and agile, that enables that to be the reality. Otherwise, you're waiting for the perfect time to even start. And let's face it, there is no perfect time to start. It's always the perfect time. So I think there's a lot to be thought to think about and to be aware of, that agility is so crucial. What about when is the right time to start? Like, in terms of what would catalyze a team to be thinking about using a team coach, Ali? What would be some of the conditions for that?
Well, I think change is the time to start. So I know there's many leaders go, oh, there's a lot of change going on, so we'll wait. I would actually argue, oh, a lot of change going on. This is a perfect time to start, because when change is going on, there's all sorts of miscommunications, chaos, lack of direction, a whole load of things. And actually with change, you want to get everybody together. You want them to be understanding what's going and how they can contribute. So I think there's something really interesting about bring a team to say, right, there's a whole load of change. We don't know how it's going to play out. Let's work together on it. So change, definitely. Big transformations in organizations. Crises as well is another one where, you know, they think, oh, we've got a crisis. Now's not a good time because we're too busy. Actually, it's the best. Because again, it's, you know, you need to be able to get a few minutes space. This is where the flexibility about how much time you allocate to these things will really help you cut away the less value-added stuff, get the team to focus on what's really important and how they can fine-tune working with each other so it's really efficient and effective to get things done. So crises is another time. And I think the other thing is when you're looking at a team and thinking, this is stagnating, nothing's happening. This team's been like this for a long time and I feel there's untapped potential. And those are some of my favorites, actually. So, you know, they've been ticking along really well. And there's this sense of, oh, this could be so awesome. But most of the team don't even see it or want it. And they're like, And I think there's something in those that's this wonderful moment. So there's stagnation, coasting. How do we re-energize and get them really feeling and enjoying the dynamics? And I'd say, you know, when people are disengaging from teams, which links that stagnation, there's a lot of talk about the quiet quitters and people dropping off in productivity. And I think both of those things are indicators that the team isn't really feeling it together. You know, the people are doing their tasks, whatever they might be. But there's no real sort of engagement with everybody else. Maybe they don't really like their team colleagues. Maybe they don't understand the purpose of why they're having to do stuff, or it's just boring. All of those things can happen, and they're great opportunities for the team and team coaching.
So another example for me would be you've got a new team. You know, I just think, you know, you've started up a new team, you know, or lots of people have changed in the team, right? That's a new, every time somebody changes in a team, it's a new team. But maybe you've got lots of people who've changed in the team. That could be a really powerful moment to, you know, start some team coaching to establish new ways of being so that you can accelerate your performance really, really quickly. Yeah. Also change of leader. So, you know, you're a new leader coming in or the team has a new leader, probably, you know, start at around the 3 month mark, I would suggest. You know, start with doing some team coaching. You've had an opportunity to get to know people, to, you know, establish some different ways of working. And then team coaching could really, again, start to accelerate that getting to high performance piece that every leader wants in their team. And then the final one, I think, is a turnaround situation. So you've got some stuff that's not working in the team. Maybe trust is really poor. Maybe relationships are really, really broken. You've got cliques happening. You've got people, you know, destructive conflict happening. A coaching process can be so powerful in turning that around. And so thinking about, you know, again, we can often experience leaders going, I'm just going to wait for the perfect time. I'm going to wait for that new person to come and join the team. No. If you've got issues happening in your team, address them as quickly as you can. Team coaching could really, really support that, I think.
Yeah. What about, you know, the other modalities or other things that we do with teams? You know, like skill building, how to challenge each other or give feedback, for example, and some of the relationship building things. Because those are a lot of the activities that we talked to initially about team building and everything. How do they fit or integrate with team coaching, Jenny, in your view?
I think they fit in beautifully, actually. I think they integrate really well. I think they only enhance the team coaching process. Purist team coaches will say you're not team coaching when you're doing that stuff. But as a team coach, I think it's still powerful as long as you, as a coach, debrief the exercises, you know, talk about the reflections that the team has as a result of doing that. You know, perfect example, I think, is the use of maybe a personality tool. Like DISC or Myers-Briggs or Insights or SDI. There's so many of them. We're completely agnostic about which tools, although you and I have long conversations about which ones are our favourites.
We use all of them. You know,
we use all of them. We have our favourites. But that doesn't mean that our favourite is the right tool for the team in particular. No. So we get led by what the team needs and therefore what the right tool might be for them. And the kinds of things that we're often looking for is what's quick and easy to teach, what creates the right level of conversation in the team about what's going on in terms of the dynamics because of this collection of personalities that we have in the team, what will enable us to create a common language going forward in the team, what's going to create the right behaviours going forward, and so on. So that's our little lens, isn't it, for determining which tool is the right one for a team. And probably also what's the context of the organization, what tool is well known and well used in the organization that actually people might have come across before, and that makes it more easier to establish that as that common language in the team and therefore the organization. So yeah, I think using a personality tool could be really, really powerful. Is that team coaching in and of itself? Probably not. But how could you use that as a team coaching process? You know, all of the things that we've just talked about in terms of, you know, asking some really powerful questions about what impact does this collection of personalities have on the team on a day-to-day basis? How does that help you? How does that hinder you? What opportunities are there? What could we be more intentional about in terms of the behaviours that we're demonstrating? These are all lovely coaching questions that as coach we can ask the team, and they can ask themselves of it going forward. And so building that process into a team coaching process can be really, really, really powerful as long as the team want it. It's got to be led by them, right? So they've got to be responsive and excited and motivated by learning that stuff. Otherwise, we're taking over the process as coach.
Yeah. And it can be an interesting moment as a team coach to move into what is in fact a knowledge give session to talk about a personality tool. And so you're explaining what the tool is and the model and the framework and what they stand for. And then switching back out of that into the team coaching, which is where you start asking those lovely questions like, so what does this mean for you lot? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that play out for you as a team having these personality types? And what kind of decision making do you go through as a result of these personality types? And what are you missing? And how could that be more effective if you would start to flex? So for me, I don't care which tool. I mean, you know, there's ones I've known for longer than others, but actually I don't care. They all do a job. And for me, it's much more, so what are you going to do with this information? How can you become more effective in how you relate with each other, how you work together, and then also how you work with other people outside, the external stakeholders too? And how do you learn to flex your behaviors? Because we all have our own personalities and our sort of go-tos. So how do you move out of that? How do you recognize, and how can you get the rest of the team to go nudge you and say, oh, you're being red again, or, you know, you've jumped into another color, or you've changed your type and you're now a P instead of a J, and I don't know. So they need to have ways of communicating so that people can start to notice what they're doing and the impact that they're having, so they can transform it and make the team more effective and work more effectively together. So for me, all those tools are useful, but it's only in service of what the team then understands about themselves and what they then want to do with it.
Yeah, there's an opportunity to hold up. There's another opportunity to hold up the mirror. Holding up the mirror is what the purpose of that tool is, and teaching it is so that you can create an opportunity to have a deeper discussion through that reflection.
Yeah, so too many times I've seen groups learn a tool or a skill, and then it was a really fun day because they're fun stuff that's well facilitated or well trained. They should be fun, engaging, and interesting. But too many times it's not nailed in enough about so what and what are we going to do with this now? And then it gets forgotten and people go, oh, yeah, we did that. What was that? Yeah, let's get it out. And they dust this thing off. So that's where I think adding team coaching makes the big difference, because that's much more about embedding it into the new way the team is going to move forward and linking it to what's important to the team and connecting them to a much larger impactful performance as a result.
And the other thing that occurs to me is the, you know, in a team coaching process, it's not a once and done thing.
No.
So say we teach insights to a particular team, they spend some time looking at that in a session. In other modalities, we might be tempted to just leave it there and we move on to the next skill that we're now developing in the team, right? In team coaching, we keep coming back to it. So that insights tool that we used in session one, in session two, we're looking at, okay, so what type of team behaviors would we like to demonstrate? That we learn about what we've done. You know, learning from that and where we are now as a team? Where would we like to be instead? And let's agree a set of behaviours, yeah. for example, that we could be, we want to be demonstrating as a team to enable us to achieve our results and, you know, live our reason or whatever it might be. You know, I looked at with a team a few weeks ago, trust in a team. We pulled out their insights profile as a team and we went, how does your insights profile, you know, link to the discussion we've just had about trust? You know, so I keep on bringing it out and we keep on referring back to it. And all that does is beautifully embed that thinking about the personality types as, you know, as a way of thinking and living it. But also it's not just what is, it's what could be.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we shift that? How do we start to, you know, really lean into one of the colours because we want to be more visionary as a team or whatever it might be. Yeah. So coming, I think that's the real power of coaching is to keep on coming back to something.
Yeah.
As it adds value to the team.
And I think the power of coaching is about developing the team, but all the individuals. So it is a growth process coaching. So this is not about the team as individuals and their skills or anything staying the same. Mm. What we're actually doing is an adult development process where we're helping people's mental frameworks and understanding of the world shift and expand and take on more. So people's understanding of both themselves and their team members and what they're trying to achieve develops, and then they can grow the skills and we can add that in with a bit of training or whatever. But this is very much a growth process for the team. So you get growth in outputs, but you also get growth in each of those individuals in the team and the team as a whole, that synergistic thing.
What about the role of the leader in all of this, Ali? And how does the coach work with the leader to support the team to get to high performance in the team coaching process?
Well, I guess there's a couple of ways that we can do it. Our approach is that the leader is a member of the team. So they are one. So, you know, I've had some leaders say to me, oh, you go and do the team and let me know how it goes. And it's like, no, you are a member of the team. You're the leader of the team. So you have a very special role, but you have a key role in the team. You might have more influence. You certainly have more access to resources than the individuals do. And you also have a different perspective. But you are bought into, one would hope, but certainly by the time we finished with us, into the purpose of the team and the reason it exists and what results you're wanting to have and the dynamics. So you are a key member of the team. And so I think that's really important that they understand that. And as such, we are going to value each of the members in the team as a member of the team, including the leader. And that's where the leader is. There is some initial discussions that need to happen with the leader and ongoing. And so I think it's an opportunity for the leader to start to understand how they can impact and develop their team outside the coaching practices. So often what we'll be doing is leader coaching and support in support of the team when we're not there as well. So it's almost like one-on-one coaching as well as team coaching can be part of it. So that, you know, that leader starts to reflect and model and do the things that they should be doing and can be doing and gets insights about the impact that they're having.
And it's such an important role that they play in the team. You'll hear us, if you listen to our other podcast, you'll hear us talking about as above, so below a lot. It's a phrase we use all the time, isn't it, Ali? And, you know, that the role that the leader plays, you know, the shadow they cast is such an important one on the dynamics within the team. You know, we estimate their impact to be about 70% of the team's experience of the dynamics comes from the leader, at least initially. And so the role that they play and how they can, the behaviours they demonstrate that create those dynamics that are appearing in the team, whether they're constructive or not, you know, a lot of that comes from the leader. And therefore, to start with, at least, the behaviours that the leader demonstrates needs to, they need to think about that. They need to be thinking about, how am I creating this dynamic? What could I do differently that might shift that? You know, what do I want the dynamic to be in relation between me as the leader and my team going forward? Do I want it to be as it is now? Does it work? Or could it be something different? You know, and often leaders have never really thought about that until we start the team coaching process. And so it can be so transformational for them and their own leadership capability, as well as the team.
Yeah.
That process of considering that and reflecting on that, yeah, is what I notice happening.
I think I've seen huge shift in the leader's leadership capability as a result of team coaching, because suddenly they start to understand, you know, where they can step back from their team, where they can empower and hold people accountable. They understand better the impact that they're having on some of the dynamics, you know, not necessarily just on the individuals, but on the dynamics of what's happening. And I can think of many examples where I've had leaders saying, I want them to be more accountable and take ownership. Why won't they? And the answer is because of you, actually.
What are you doing that might be creating this situation?
And how could you do it differently? Because you don't want to suddenly let go of the reins, because that might not be the right thing to do either. But how do you do it? But it's also about helping a leader see that they're actually not on their own. Many leaders feel that they are on their own. But a team coaching process creates ownership for the team, across the team. And it's no longer the leader's burden to do everything themselves. Mm. Actually, looking after each other and paying attention to each other and each other's workload and, you know, some of the things that's going on in the team becomes everybody's responsibility and accountabilities. We've talked about the behaviors, but it's more than that. And so I think that's suddenly a relief to leaders. It's like, oh, I'm not on my own. So if I think there's not enough accountability, guess what? I can raise it with the team and say, how do we become more accountable, all of us, for this? And get them to think about what they want and come up with a solution, which might not be something that the leader ever thought was possible. And that in itself is creating more accountability.
And I actually think that in certain circumstances, not all, but in certain circumstances, team coaching could be more powerful for a leader of a team than one-on-one coaching without the team process involved. Why do I think that? Well, the team coach gets to observe that leader in action with their team, because they're part of, they're coaching the team as a whole, including the leader. So they get to see that dynamic in action, which means they can then have more powerful coaching conversations in their one-on-ones with each other outside of the team process. You know, so something I think really virtuous about that, that can have much greater impact than just one-on-one coaching alone without that team process. Of course, there's many, many reasons why team coaching doesn't work, you know, in certain circumstances when we're just talking about, you know, maybe a leader transition, for example. But if we're talking about the leadership of a team, I would always be encouraging the team coaching process over one-on-one coaching.
And I think that's a trend that we're actually seeing, is more and more of our clients and the leaders that we're working with, instead of asking for one-to-one individual coaching, they're actually saying, we want to develop this leader, and what we'd like to do is team coaching with built-in one-on-one support for the leader, so that you're working with the team as a whole and developing. And yes, I think you get much more transformational skills that way. And you can include in that, you know, a much more systemic view. So it doesn't have to be, team coaching is not just looking at the internals of a team. Normally we start there, but it's also about the context that team is operating in. And so as a team sort of grows and matures, you can get the team to start thinking about, who are our stakeholders and how do we find out what they think of us and how we operate and interact with them? And that also is a learning process for the leader. So you can take them on that, you know, internal, looking down at the team, but then broadly, how do we as a team and me as the leader show up more widely in the organization or even externally beyond the organization? So I think it can be used at many different levels. And it's a great leadership development tool.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, not only for the leader of the team, but also maybe the team of leaders that they have in their team. You know, ultimately, you know, if I think about what team coaching is all about, it's about lifting the performance of the team, you know, which is all about developing capability, isn't it? And taking things to the next level. That's a virtuous process.
Yeah.
Yeah. For everybody.
Exactly. And what you find is that, you know, the other members of the team then go and do that stuff with their own teams. And because they go, oh, this was really good. I'm going to, you know, practice and put this into action with my team. And so, you know, it becomes a very virtuous, expanding way of uplifting capability and performance. I think we're just going to see more and more team coaching.
I think it's definitely a rising capability and something people are becoming more aware of and wanting more of, both at the organisational level and the leader level and team level as well. So I think just like one-on-one coaching was, you know, 30 years ago, very few people knew even what it was. You know, only the elite maybe had a coach. I think it's just going to become more and more popular as people realise how powerful it is. So that brings us to the end of this podcast, where we've talked about team coaching, what it is, when you would do it, how it's different from some of the other things that you could do with your team instead, how we work with teams, what's a typical process, how we work with the leader, that kind of thing. Our book, Team Coaching Edge, is out on the 30th of April, available in all good bookshops and on our website. So, you know, do get a copy of that if you're interested in learning more about team coaching, or get in touch with us. We're always really happy to talk about it for hours and hours. We certify coaches in team coaching, so it's a favorite topic of ours, isn't it, Ali? Yeah. So lovely to have you here, and see you next time.
See you next time.